many realms of Azeroth to the great dark beyond via the magic of podcasting. This is episode 22 of The Rolling Restart. Hello once again, friends. My name is Ro, and this week we have a very special edition of the show. For some time now, I've really looked upon BlizzCon as the end of one year in Blizzard gaming and the beginning of another. And for the first time in about 4 years, all signs are pointing to an expansion release announcement for WoW at BlizzCon. The speculation machine is pretty much in overdrive. Before we get to that speculation, however, this week I wanted to take a look back at the past year of WoW through the opinions of myself and the regular co-hosts on the show coming together for the first time. You could say a rogue, a monk, and two warlocks walk into a podcast, and the result is this episode where I'm happy to welcome DigCon Diva Belle from Pwncast, Yoshi Killer Ben Bumhofer from Azeroth Roundtable, and yours in this life and the next, at John_Jagger from Azeroth Roundtable. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
That you said they weren't going to be amazing. That's pretty awesome.
John is still in shock.
I'm proud of my Yoshi killing. I'm very proud of my Yoshi killing.
If you're going to kill something, might as well be Yoshi.
Yeah, exactly.
Ben and Nevermore have been streaming some Super Mario Brothers, and it was quite amusing watching Yoshi plummet to his demise on at least a couple of occasions there.
Poor Yoshi.
He went to a better place. There's pillows down there.
Right. Absolutely. Well, for those who are wondering where Ginge is, because she's a regular co-host on here as well, she hasn't left the show, but her offline life has been pretty crazy for her of late with family, some technical issues also, so unfortunately, she said she's not going to be able to be here for this episode, but you definitely haven't heard the last of her, so we wish her all the best in all the stuff that she is trying to get to while she tries to keep herself from going insane while making tons of soap. So,
That almost sounded like a supervillain thing. Like, you haven't heard the last of her.
I don't know what diabolical plan she has up. Who knows?
Very true.
So, folks, like I said, I wanted to take a look back at Legion, which is kind of interesting because on the one of the most recent episodes of Azeroth Roundtable, Ben and John, you guys kind of took a retrospective back at the lore of Legion. I kind of wanted to take a more generalized kind of gameplay personal experience view as far as that retrospective go. And this is kind of like, I don't know, in a way it's almost like the 2017 Legion Awards, because what I have here is I kind of wanted to go around the horn and discuss amongst each of us what we thought was the best when it came in Legion in terms of things like story, characters, even things such as like instances, world quests, or gameplay elements, or just basically the best moment or best experience you had in Legion. John, you have enjoyed Legion a surprising amount at different times. I would dare say more than you expected to. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'd say I was very pleasantly surprised by Legion.
And Ben, what's your overall opinion of Legion going into this?
There was a little bit of a lull in there with the patch before this one. But other than that, it's been really solid with surprisingly a ton of content.
Sometimes.
Yeah, content. I don't know what happened with that.
And Belle, outside of your PvP frustrations, what have you enjoyed about Legion overall?
You know, my PvP frustrations have pushed me into the PvE realm, and I've really just enjoyed the Mythic pluses. I dare say that outside of Wrath of the Lich King, which I think is everybody's kind of the fan favorite, I think this was the best expansion to date, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, at the beginning of Legion, I said after the leveling experience that I strongly felt that Legion was at least 1B to Wrath of the Lich King's 1A. After having played as much as I have, and I mean, given we're talking about Legion without having experienced the final raid yet, but I consider Legion to be the best WoW expansion that I've played. Wrath of the Lich King is right beneath it. It's really close, but I feel like Legion has been the best WoW experience I've had for a number of reasons. A lot of which has to do with just the enjoyment I've had, the accessibility, And as someone who plays one character primarily, it hasn't been as big an issue to me. Now, given there are a lot of people who play many alts where there's a lot of issues there that were frustrating at first and eventually got relaxed a little bit over time. But I think that's a general overview of how we feel. Let's kind of dig into the nitty-gritty of each kind of element behind Legion. And, of course, many a time on this show, we talk about lore and story. At least with John and I, it seems to be the topic of almost every episode for us. And it's because story and lore has always been a driving focus for me as far as what I enjoy about WoW. So, without further ado, man, this feels like such an obvious question to toss to John, but maybe you'll surprise me. John, what was the best story in Legion for you? As if I don't know.
I'm going to give it to the obvious answer that I think I've talked about every time I'm on the show, and that would be the Sylvanas Greymane storyline. Like, I wish I could pull out a surprise. It was the story that I cared the most about from this expansion. It was the story that I was the most invested in. In fact, you know, we were just saying, like, hey, where does Legion rank in the world of expansion packs? And it's still in second place for me. Mm-hmm. And I would say the reason it's still in second place, the only thing that is preventing it from passing Lich King for me, is that Lich King to me felt like a very coherent story. We were there for a singular purpose. We had a couple distractions here and there, but generally speaking, we were there to fight the Lich King, and almost everything we did worked towards that goal. And I think one of Legion's big faults is that it, in its quest to offer every story, to cover every potential expansion they could possibly introduce, I think that they dropped the ball and they didn't tell any very complete stories. And actually, now that I've said that, I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to say that the story in Val'Shaerah is the most complete story in this expansion. It ends on a very somber note. It didn't resonate with me as much as it did for other players, but I think I'm going to give it the nod for being the most complete story in Legion.
I definitely have to agree with that. And that's an interesting point you bring up. It's like Blizzard, in a way, was kind of a victim of its own attempt to hit all those fan service plot points. We had a little bit of what every expansion people thought Legion was going to end up being, and we got a little bit of everything. And in essence, we got a little bit of everything, but not all of what we wanted out of, I think, any one of those things. You could even argue with the Val'Shaerah story that what was great to experience the Emerald Nightmare, that it probably wasn't the Emerald Nightmare experience that everyone was hoping to get in its entirety. Ben, what about you? Is Val'Shaerah a big story for you, or what story captivated you the most?
Well, my first thought was, oh good, John's not taking mine. And then he took mine after he changed the story. So just so that I don't repeat. Well, first of all, Val'Shaerah was absolutely amazing. I started questing through High Mountain and then started seeing things popping up like in social media about, oh, Val'Shaerah is so great. Val'Shaerah is so great. I'm like, oh, crap. I need to finish High Mountain so I can get there and finish that story so it's not spoiled for me. And it was like three quests before the thing happens. So I'm like, damn it. But that is, I think, as John said, probably one of the best complete stories that's in this game. Other than that, what I would probably have to say is my second favorite is something that I actually haven't completely played yet because it's next up on my list. But the Death Knight Order Hall storyline is pretty fantastic. It does have a really cool, like, end encounter that kind of ends on a dud, but like the whole story of what you're doing, how you're going about doing things and everything it's really intriguing to me. And the fact that the Death Knights get away with a lot of what they do is just kind of mind boggling. And I'm really excited to actually go through and play that. That's going to be the next character or the next alt that I work through.
I think one of my biggest regrets so far in Legion is that I haven't experienced anywhere near as many Class Order Hall storylines as I would like. I've done Warlock and Shaman And really, that's about it, because those are the only two classes I've kind of focused on. Belle, I will be perfectly okay with you saying Warlock Class Howl story. what story hit for you in Legion?
Well, I did think the Warlock story, obviously, because I mean, it's not just because I'm a Warlock, guys. There's no bias here, I promise.
None whatsoever.
I did think it was...
And that's what a Warlock would say. Right?
It was nice. I really enjoyed having that addition. But now, I would have also said the Sylvanas Greymane story, while not finished, which we were told at the recent Q&A that they do plan on wrapping that story up before the end of Legion. I do think that that's probably on my list of favorites. While I'm not as lore-y per se as you guys are, right? Like, I love the lore, but I don't really know what lore means until somebody tells me this is the weight of what this just happened. So when certain things have happened in Legion, I didn't really know kind of what the weight was moving forward or what that meant. So I've had to kind of have that explained to me. And I swear it's not because I'm dumb, guys. I'm pretty smart. I don't know a lot of the older stuff to connect the dots with some of the stuff that's happened in Legion where they've kind of addressed back things. But incidentally, there's two things that I really, really liked. One isn't necessarily storyline, but it kind of is, which is the Illidan and Maiev kind of weird relationship that they have going on in Legion when you're doing these interactions with both of them, where mm-hmm. Illidan's just kind of being his suave, know everything, I'm the end-all, be-all of everything because I'm Superman Illidan. And Maiev basically just wants to shoot him in the face. Like, this whole time through Legion, she's pretty much having to bite her tongue, but she doesn't have a choice. I really kind of enjoy that that back and forth, like that inner turmoil type of thing. I've kind of enjoyed going through that. And then the Illyria in the Void situation, because to me, I don't know what the repercussions of that are going to be moving forward, especially into the next expansion, but that's something that I'm anxious for them to kind of develop on.
I just want to comment on that. Belle, you're absolutely right with the Illyria stuff. That is so intriguing, and I am incredibly excited to see where that goes.
Especially considering that Illyria is a Windrunner, and I feel like that whole reunion with Sylvanas is something that needs to be paid off in-game, and I think John would also consider it's a crime if that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. The Illyria stuff is very weird for reasons I'll ultimately tell you guys off the air, because it is an entire rabbit hole to fall down, but yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by it, even if I'm slightly frustrated at the same time.
For me, best story I will just quickly say is the Warlock Class Hall. I kind of showed my hand a moment ago. And that's simply because it was an organic continuation of some of the elements that you experienced in the Green Fire questline for Warlocks. So it felt like the sequel I never knew I wanted as far as like Warlock lore and story goes. He got introduced to some Warlock characters that you really didn't know had an important hand to play in Warlock lore and such. He got reintroduced to some that you knew about already. And then, probably right near the end of the Warlock Class Hall storyline, you get introduced to what I feel was one of the best characters in Legion. Not like she had a big role or anything like that, but Lulu Belle Fizzlebang, the sister of Wilfred Fizzlebang, Master Summoner, in my opinion, best NPC in Legion. And I'm entirely biased because she's the companion I use on all my world quests and stuff like that. She has some of the best lines in the world. She's a cute gnome warlock who will destroy the blank out of you, and in my opinion, best NPC in Legion. So with that, speaking of best NPCs, Belle, of all the non-player characters in Legion, whether they had a big important part to play or not, what was the best NPC for you?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I'm a little biased, but I've grown quite partial to Calidus. And I never thought that I would say that, because in the very beginning of Legion, he kind of annoyed me. But I've grown very fond of him, just from Warlock interactions, really.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, he was my most... It was one of those things where, like, why are you here? Why are you a part of what's going on? I don't understand what you're doing here. But I've grown quite fond of him. I kind of look at him like my little pet, which he's really not. But, yeah, I've grown fond of his little quips that he says when you interact with him.
for those that aren't aware, who haven't played the Warlock Hall class line, Kaladesh is basically this this small, tiny. It's like those demon guys with the backpacks and stuff, kind of like WoW's
worm,
treasure.
He's a worm
demon.
Tongue, right?
Yeah, he's a worm tongue. Yeah. So Kaladesh is basically a Warlock worm tongue companion. You see him early in the Warlock class hall storyline. He was definitely. I'd say he was high on my list at the start of Legion. He kind of fell off my radar further into it because he never really had too much of a role later on, except to like be right by your class hall where you're changing your weapon and be like, oh yeah, Kaladesh is there. Ben, how about you? Is there a character that stood out for you, whether you were playing a mage or a monk or otherwise?
You know, this is actually kind of a tough thing to answer because there are so many NPCs throughout, you know, the entire experience that have contributed in so many different ways. I mean, I have to throw out an honorable mention to my man, Chen Stormstout. He's absolutely great. He's accompanying me everywhere I go, make sure that I'm alive, and also has a drinking problem that we're going to be talking to him about. But
is it ever really a drinking problem for a Pandaren monk? I mean, a drinking problem for a Pandaren monk would be when they don't have anything to drink, wouldn't it?
Possibly, but you know, I think he might overindulge a tiny bit. I mean, he's constantly saying, "Let's get a drink." Oh, this is thirsty work, and it I think it might be a problem. But yeah, we'll see. We'll talk.
I have to agree with you there because the monk is my alt, my second main, right? That's the only other one that I really enjoy playing, and obviously he's my guy because I'm a healer. And I agree. I think he might need some type of rehab because he can't. Anytime he engages in any type of battle, he needs to have a drink first.
Yeah, all the time. So you know, a little worried about him, but you know what, Bell, we'll organize some sort of intervention and. And get him some help. But other than him, I've got to say that I was surprised how much I love Odin. And it's because he's just incredibly just like out there, really has no idea like what you're capable of, is like this gigantic, huge, arrogant ass. And I love that. Like, if you're a warrior, you're essentially his Pokemon. Like, to get your class mount, you're a Pokemon in a Pokemon battle. He sends you in to defeat other warriors. And it's just, I don't know, it's something about all the interactions with him. It's like he's this jovial big guy who's like, ha-ha, fight me. And, oh, you can't win, but whatever. We're done fighting now. You're good enough. I'm going to send you to hell. So, you know, go kill stuff. But I don't know. It's something about it. Like, I love the design of him. Like, the fire beard is really cool. I love the essentially, you know, Valhalla. It's so cool. And just interacting with him over the course of the expansion, doing like, you know, the Trial of Valor and then the Hall of Valor and all that stuff. It was a lot of fun. And I think it added some levity to the expansion that you don't see in a whole bunch of other places.
So I'm going to make an assumption here, and I may be wrong. But I would almost guess that Odin is probably one of John's least favorite characters because he took away from Morgan and Sylvanas' time in Stormheim.
Oh, no. He's not one of my least favorite. I like Odin. I thought he was cool. I think he maybe is a little forgetful. Like, it's really weird when you play a warrior because I feel like you have to extra prove yourself to Odin because you have to prove yourself to him so many times in this game. And then on top of it, when you're a warrior and you're already his chosen champion, it makes you really wonder why you got to prove yourself to him so many times. But I like him. He's good.
He just wants to be really, really sure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to then guess, is your favorite NPC something from the Rogue Class Hall? If so, I probably have no familiarity with them unless you're talking like Vanessa Van Cleef or something.
Okay, so we don't have enough people on the show because there are some honorable mentions that have not gotten named, and I'm going to run through them real quick. Because there's a right answer, and I feel like I should give it, but there are three characters that I feel like need to get their due. Number one, selfishly, yes, Vanessa Van Cleef. In a world where they gave me Lillian Voss as a follower, I'm still rolling with Vanessa, and that makes me super happy, and she's great. And she rides a turtle for some reason. I don't know. It's not... in my rule, but that's what she does.
No, because, you know, she's a pirate.
Special shout out to Ruinas the Withered. That storyline.
Yes.
Super good. That character. Super
good.
The
mana addict, right?
Yeah. Yep. That, so he deserves a special shout out. If I'm answering my heart instead of my head, Sylvanas, because duh.
Yep.
I don't know if I need to explain that anymore.
Just listen to any previous episode with John and myself. Yep.
Like, yeah. So, but the real answer is Illidan. I mean, in this expansion, it's hard to not say, like, he loomed despite kind of not being in it until the very, very end. But he loomed. We got his backstory. We got to play a bunch of it. He had an amazing return moment killing second Gul'dan. And he is a character that every time you talk to him to WoW players up to this point, it'd be like, oh, you're not prepared. That's what everybody had to say. Like, he had a catchphrase. And somehow, the character with a catchphrase has somehow outdone himself, and now everybody's saying, I am my scars. You know, like, he's got two now. Like, he managed to come back and one-up himself. So, you know, I know there's some people that nitpick at, like, that cinematic. I've seen it almost every time I mention how much I like it. There's always somebody that's like, well, I don't understand, because he said you have to force fate, but then he's like, I don't believe in fate. And, like, look, Illidan doesn't have a doctrine. He doesn't prescribe.
He's complicated.
He does whatever's in his heart, and sometimes that's contradictory. But he has loomed large over this expansion, and I think he has been incredibly effective, because every time they said, hey, do you guys want to see Illidan back at BlizzCon? And people went, yeah. I was like, nah. Like, he just wasn't a character that I was super invested in, and somehow they took this character that I didn't think was the greatest, and he stood out all expansion to me as incredibly cool and incredibly powerful with the story behind him.
And obviously, since we haven't done the final raid yet as the time of recording this, which is, I mean, that raid probably won't be out till a week or two after BlizzCon, Illidan's final role in all of this and how it carries over into future content remains to be seen. If you guys have seen Datamine stuff, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen outside of some zone change in some unnamed zone that John and I know about. but, you know, you brought up the whole I am my scars moment, John, and I feel it's just a natural transition to move on to just the best moment playing the game. And I'm going to say that cinematic moment is an honorable mention for me, because I felt that the story was going in a very obvious direction as far as what was happening. There had been all this buildup with Illidan, with being the child of light and shadow and the prophecy and all that stuff. And then shortly into the whole Argus campaign, this cinematic happens and completely wrecks everything I thought that was going to happen. Illidan destroys the Naru, and I'm like, what? But what the hell is going to happen now? It was that moment of shock and surprise where things took a turn that I absolutely wasn't expecting that really got me kind of fired up and engaged and interested in the story in Argus, which I had a little bit of reservation going into it. It's like, just how excited was I going to be for this story that I kept pretty much my eyes away from, you know, everything that was happening on the beta. And that cinematic was, I'm so glad that I stayed spoiler free just for that moment. Before then, I'd probably say that my favorite moment, not necessarily story-wise, but just overall, just playing Legion, was when we basically, as a raid team, it's multiple moments, but in raiding, I felt like our raid team, which is a friends and family team, fairly casual group with a mix of different players with different skills and play levels and stuff like that, I feel like this is the expansion where we hit our groove, where we were going at a progression at a pace that, for the most part, I had thought was great, which was acceptable, and we were downing content that was at our level at an acceptable time before the next stuff was coming out. We were downing content when it was still relevant for what we were doing. And that was something that I hadn't really experienced in the past couple of expansions as much. So to have had that in Legion, that was not just one single moment, but just a series of great moments. Just raiding felt really good for me. So with that, going around the room again, best moment or moments just simply playing Legion, Ben, what does it for you?
Well, I'll back you up, first of all, on raiding. I would have to say that Legion raid tuning has been some of the best that we've come across in our little raid group. And being able to actually go through and defeat those bosses and to, I mean, heck, we killed Jaden, and it was one of those, like, I can't believe we did this, and we actually still have time before the next raid comes out. It just blew my mind. And it's been consistent this entire expansion, and it's been great. It's something that I never thought was going to happen. So, yay, go us. But I don't really want to hog everything, because there's two moments that I absolutely loved. And I'll tell you my absolute favorite one, and then if no one else brings up the other one, I'm going to jump in and just throw it out there. So when we're on Argus and we go and we're, you know, just kind of going through doing the quest line and everything, and I think this was at the end of like week two or something like that, and we find out that what's his name, Agamar, the Agamar, Titan, is like alive again. Yeah, and Sargeras, you know, raised him, and he's working for him now and everything. And then, you know, we go and kill some demon dude. We're walking out. We get a little cutscene. All of a sudden, he teleports in. Everybody's gone, and you're the only one standing there. And then all of a sudden, you're like, let's do this. And you pull out your weapon, and you're just ready to go. And now that I've played through it on my second character, it's way more epic on my monk, because if you're a monk, like, anytime that you're, you know, getting ready to fight and you're in your ready position and stuff, it looks so cool, because you're just like, it's like you're fighting Neo and you're Morpheus, and you just, you know, flip out your little hand, and you're like, come on, bring it. And just getting ready to just stand there and just take him on and be like, I'm going to get this guy. And then being teleported away at the last second, like, it was still cool, but I have never felt so awesome in this game as I did at that moment.
It's so, such a small moment far. Too, but it just does so much with so little. It's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. And I mean, it's just like, if you think about it, these characters have been around and gone through so much and protected Azeroth so much and saved Draenor, and like, we are these heroes. We're not just adventurers anymore. We're heroes. Like, we're really the level of what Khadgar is, or Sylvanas and everything. Like, we should be famous. Oh, they saved the world. I mean, granted, there's like millions of us, but, you know, when you're going through and you're the head of this order hall, and, you know, you're the one that they count on for everything, of course you're going to stand there and just get ready to take on the Titan, because you know what? Everything that you've done has led up to that point, and you're like, it's my job. I'm going to do it. And I freaking love that part.
How about you, John?
So mine's a little odd, but I think there's a really good reason behind it, and that is the first time I ran Court of Stars, went in there with a couple of friends, and we get to Patrol Captain Gerdo, who is the first boss in there, and we accidentally pulled the boss with two kind of trash pulls, and it was like, okay, well, this is going to be a wipe, because we've taken on way more than we can, but we'll see as much of the fight as we can before we're all dead, and we'll see how it goes. And I noticed near the end of the fight, he runs over and he takes a drink from this flask that's sitting on the well. And I didn't look up any of the strats for the fight or anything like that. I just, you know, we were kind of just winging it. And I was like, man, I wonder if there's a thing that you can do, like, what if you could get in there and could drink that flask before he did? Or what if there's a mechanic where you have to prevent him from drinking that flask? Now, WoW is not a sandbox game. In fact, it falls way too heavily on the roller coaster that we talk about a lot, which is get in and enjoy the ride, but don't expect to have any agency on the game, because you're not going to get any. And I went in there, and as a complete, just, I don't even know why I felt inspired to check, because this never happens in WoW, but I stealthed over to the potion vial, because I realized it was clickable, and I was like, oh, I can do something with this. And I right-clicked it, and it said right there, because I was a rogue, I could poison it. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? And I poisoned the vial, and we started the boss fight, and at whatever percentage it is where he would go over and drink it, he goes running over there, he drinks it, and then he freaks out and promptly dies from being poisoned. And it blew my mind. It was the greatest moment I've maybe ever experienced in this game. And it was like a window into what I wish WoW did more often, which is like, forget balance, forget everybody has to do this, everybody has to do that. Just let people play in this sandbox type world. And it was just the coolest moment. Like, it absolutely just, it messed with me. Like, for that entire rest of the dungeon, I barely even remember it because I was over the moon excited after just that one.
Yeah, I think I had that happen to me in, like, one run of Court of Stars myself, where the boss grabbed the vial and then just died, and I had no idea what even happened. Like, okay, I guess that time it was poison, and I didn't even think about, like, oh, well, the rogue poisoned it, or whatever like that. So I was like, oh, well, maybe it's just random that sometimes the vial just isn't the right one or something. But, yeah, I can definitely see that. I do wish there were more moments like that, too, where your professions or your class, just the class fantasy, the profession fantasy, all that stuff was a more important part of that interacting with instances or even with just questing in general.
Yeah, and they put it all 100% in Court of Stars. Like, if you go in there, there's a ton you can do, and it's super fun. But, like, it would be way cooler if it was spread out through the game instead of just like, hey, here's one dungeon.
Absolutely. Belle, how about for you? Again, not to tease you too much about the lack of PvP innovation outside of the honor system, but I would imagine the best moment for you wasn't probably PvP related.
Sadly, it was not, but I'm looking for Blizzard to redeem this next expansion. Hopefully, they've listened to the pleas of the community and can just really... I don't want to keep overusing the make things great again term, because I feel like it's largely overused on the internet. But I feel like in this instance, it's super warranted. I need them to redeem me on that front. But honestly, so there's two moments that the whole expansion has been amazing from my perspective, but there's two moments. The first moment was when Blizzard finally started to realize the underpower when it comes to my spec, which is destruction, and made changes that on the day that I read the notes for the change, I was in tears, and people don't believe me when I tell them I was reading these changes on my phone and I was crying, and my husband said, "What is wrong with you?" And I just said, we have been so undervalued in such a long time since really Mists of Pandaria that it's nice to see that they're seeing our play and are making that better. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, but just, you know, Warlocks in general have always been OP, which is true, but you can't.
But it's always been affliction for the most part.
It has always been affliction, especially from a PvP perspective. So when these changes were made, it was really a moment where I was just in love with Blizzard again. And I stopped kind of calling them out even on my own show because I was very frustrated because of the limitations. But that has been phenomenal. We are still not topping the charts when it comes to other casters, of course, because every class and spec has their limitations. But if you know how to do what you're doing on your destruction warlock, you can work it hard and actually get rewards from being able to do that in your DPS output versus just having that cap where we know we can never go above that. So why should we bother? So that was a huge moment for me, especially after suffering through two expansions of just, well, the when I say two expansions, the first half of Legion, right?
Right.
So the second, and every people that are listening will be like, wow, can you please pick something different? It's going to have to be Suramar across the board. 150%, I joke that it's the hashtag fan favorite. Everything from the storylines to John had mentioned Court of Stars to the Arcway wasn't my super favorite on a high level Mythic Plus, of course, because it's kind of a nightmare when you're like above a 7, especially when there's like all the worst affixes possible. But Suramar in general was such a breathtaking map that they did, especially amid all this destruction that's going on with the Legion. It just was such a breath of fresh air visually that I often, once or twice a week, will go and just sit on top of a roof in Suramar and just take in just the beauty of it. I think they just really, the artists just, I can't say enough about it, and I know people get annoyed when I say that, but the storyline was amazing. People were really, really annoyed that the storylines were so in-depth, but I think it was something that was really needed. I think we needed some meat, right? Some meat when it comes to these questing storylines, which is what we got from each of these zones, but I feel like they outdid themselves with Suramar, and I'm really hoping we get something like that for wherever we're going next, because I think we need that.
I would agree for the most part. The one regret I have about Suramar, Bell, is that we went through that whole campaign to basically liberate it from the Legion and everything like that. I so wish that they had phased Suramar into basically a city with like all the bells, clicks, and whistles, like an alternative to Dalaran, as it were. I mean, obviously, you'd have to go to Dalaran for a couple classes to access your class hall and all that stuff. But it would have been great if we had, throughout the experience of Legion, liberated Suramar and then got to use Suramar as a base of operations.
I agree with you there, and I've had several conversations with my guys on the show over the course of the expansion on hoping that that was going to happen, that it just hadn't been data mined, or there was this secret thing that they were going to do, because I feel like Blizzard missed an opportunity there. There's so many things within the city that if we're going through the hard work of liberating them and we're helping them, we should be able to reap the benefits of that. Why am I still going back to the city that's essentially still in turmoil? There's mm-hmm. It's not really friendly per se. So I do agree with you there. I think Blizzard missed an opportunity to have a unique type of zone where you earned the right to just be able to walk freely and interact with different things within the city, because it's really, what use do people have for it outside of the world quests, aka daily quests that they just repackaged right. as world quests, which I love world quests, so it is what it is. But I do feel like they missed an opportunity to make Suramar relevant beyond doing your Good Samaritan, your insurrection, and then, you know, the random things that you have to do. So I agree with you.
Ben, did we touch on the second thing you wanted to bring up?
No. Thank you for remembering. It's not exactly the most epic thing or, you know, the coolest thing in the game, but I just want to throw it out there again that the ending of Val'Shaerah is one of the most beautiful things that has happened in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. And yes, I cried greatly for it, but just that the work that Taron Gregory and his team did on that end cutscene was just something that I thought was just absolutely fantastic and gave this character the loving tribute that she deserved.
And you know, if I had a whole list of honorable mentions, I'll just sum it up all around and say that by far the cinematics team, Taron Gregory and the rest of his team on Legion knocked themselves out. I mean, from the moment that we saw some very important characters basically lose their lives on the Broken Shore, to everything that we saw in Argus with Illidan and all that stuff. Every cinematic has just been so on point, and it's set such a high bar for what's to come. I can only imagine what the final cinematic for the climactic cinematic for the Antorus raid is going to be. I can't wait for that. All right, so Bell, you did briefly bring up world quests, and world quests are basically kind of the new hot thing when it came to Legion. I mean, obviously, in many ways, they're just dailies with different packaging, let's admit it. But some world quests were fairly run-of-the-mill type stuff, and other world quests had a little bit of charm and uniqueness to them. So let's give world quests their credit where credit might be due. My favorite world quest, and this is going to sound a little silly and stupid, would be the one in Val'Shaerah where you turn into a wisp and you help make 10 plants grow along the water without getting swallowed up by the fish, simply because it was a very different kind of world quest from most of the ones that you do, where you just go to X and kill Y things. I feel like there could have been a lot more variety in daily quests as far as like what you can do. I mean, the daily quests to me didn't just have to be go kill things and do a lot of stuff that you did in your leveling content. I feel like there could have been more variety. So the whole Wisp thing was fun. It was quick. It was simple. And it got me some quick artifact power and such. So for me, that's oddly enough one of my favorite world quests. 1B would have to be the world quest I've only participated in once on Argus, where you actually get to fly in that robot suit and do a whole bombing run. I've only been able to do that once, and I wish I had access to do that more often than that. Bell, what is your favorite world quest in Legion?
Incidentally, I do agree with everything you said about the world quest. Credit where credit's due, for sure. But we already did all this stuff when we quested, so it's kind of annoying that we redo it every day. But I get it, you know. But my absolute favorite is the one in Stormheim, which is the Bareback Brawl. Incidentally, it is PvP related, but it is the most fun if you do it right. If you just show up there and it's the wrong time of day, nobody else is doing that quest, but it's basically a free-for-all PvP zone. You tame the different animals. They're like the goat, and the goat has the ability to ram people off. But with it being a free-for-all PvP, even in a group, if you're in a group and you go there, you can still fight your group. It's just everybody's PvP tagged. I really enjoy that because sometimes it's fun to just get together and kill each other for no apparent reason, just to get some artifact power, get a little bit of honor towards your, the prestige that means nothing essentially. But that is probably my number one favorite, is the Bareback Brawl. And the name implies something different than what it is often. And people get really weirded out when I say that. And I think it's cool.
And casting while mounted as a spellcaster is always a fun thing.
It's amazing. And when you go with a group of people, it's always fun to ram your friends off the mountain while they're unsuspecting. Because you go in with the idea of, hey, even though we can fight each other, we're going to have each other's backs. And then, you just do what you got to do. Especially with Warlocks, we're sneaky anyway. Like, we always have our underlying hidden agenda, in before Gul'dan comes with his end of the world stuff. But yeah, it's the Bareback Brawl is one of my favorites.
Nice. How about you, John? What's your favorite world quest, if you have one?
None of them. They're all bad. I'm half kidding. Kudos on Blizzard for coming up with a bunch of daily stuff that none of them feel so insurmountably difficult that you can't put something on Netflix and do while you're zoning out and, checking items off a list. But none of these elevated beyond checking something off a list for me. Yeah. Like it's what I do in WoW when I have nothing to do. Like, I get it. It's end game. They have to put something in there that's repeated content. I'm not saying they need to kill the system or anything like that. But, like, the reality of this is WoW's a really old game. And games have come a long way. And the act of playing a game nowadays, a lot of games feel fun. Like, we talked about this not too long ago on Azeroth Roundtable. I kind of get why trash in a raid in Destiny would be okay. Like, playing a first-person shooter is a very different experience than playing WoW. I don't think WoW plays like a modern game. I don't think the act of controlling my character and fighting 10 whatevers is fun. I don't think it's a fun thing. It's a mindless thing that I can get through to achieve a goal that I do want to do, and that's exactly what I do it for. But I don't think it's fun. Like, I'm not sitting there going, "Woo! I hit W, and then I hit 1 a bunch of times until I hit 3. Like, like, I'm not, that's not fun. Like, I'm having a good time overall, but yeah, I just don't think that daily quests are fun. I think they're a necessary evil, and so I think I'm happy overall that they picked stuff that doesn't require so much attention and focus and difficulty that I can't make this a game that I, play while I'm watching Netflix or listening to a podcast. I'm grateful that I have games like that in my life, and I'm grateful for WoW in that way. But I didn't walk away from any daily quest going, "Oh man, that was fun."
Except, so basically a necessary evil.
Yeah, I'll say this. Once I had flying, those ones where, like, the Kirin Tor Magic of Flight, where you can now just fly right up to the artifact. Yeah. Those are pretty fun now.
Where at first they were absolutely frustrating.
Yep. The nerd rages on Twitter and Facebook during those. I think it is the Magic of Flight.
Yep.
Was pretty real. If I would have been in front of a dev at the moment when we were introduced to those, I probably would have been thrown out of whatever establishment said dev was confronted in, because that was pretty awful.
I think the reason they were called the Magic of Flight was kind of a joke to, like, this is why getting flying is going to be so magical, so you can complete this quest so
well. I know, like the Wind was even worse.
Yeah.
I didn't even do those at all. I just said, I don't really need Kirin Tor. I can live without it.
Can I tell you guys an odd little secret? I think the Like the Wind is probably the best daily quest they have in the game.
Dude, don't steal mine.
We can't be friends now.
It's like legitimately, it's like a mini game. Like, and maybe it's a mini game that a lot of people don't like, but at least I feel like I'm sitting there actively doing something that's not a quest that I already did, or killing more cheetahs, or whatever else they want me to do. Like,
yeah, and the best part about them is that you're figuring out the actual path. Like, the one that's in, I think it's in Valshara, where you have to, like, go in through the bridge and weave around it a couple times, is a lot of fun. Now, like, the first time I figured out where I was going, I had a blast with that one.
I will say, I would have actually given that maybe as an answer tonight, except today I had to do one in High Mountain where I basically had to fall down the length of High Mountain incredibly slowly, and that was actually the path they wanted me to take. That was annoying. That took 15 minutes, even getting it right the first time. Like, that was pretty rough, but I actually do kind of like those. They're like,
I found it to just be frustrating. But then again, I am directionally challenged, right? Anybody that knows. I mean, me and Ro have talked several times.
Yes.
I'm directionally challenged. I'm especially in a dungeon. So the Wind is one of those things where I spend 45 minutes mashing my hands on my desk because I'm so bloody frustrated because I have to go all the way back to where I was because I was like 1 centimeter off the path where I was supposed to be, or I was right there at the end and then I get knocked back. It just, for me, it was a fine line between strategy and fun, and it just, for me, it wasn't fun because it could be the directionally challenged.
Possibly. I mean, and the thing is as much as I love those quests, and I can't stress enough, I love those quests. I've gotten like so much crap from Guild because I'm like, yay, I'm doing the Like the Wind or whatever. And everyone's like, what is wrong with you?
I know.
Of course, the answer is a lot. But,
and also, I will say this. Yeah. I don't want to speak to whether it's because you're directionally challenged or not. I will say that despite my like for them, those are broken. Like, you can it spot on, and for no reason your character resets, or you just shoot right over the top of the orb for no particular
reason. Or just not near enough. Like, it's not consistent with how far you actually fly. Like, sometimes if I'm holding down both mouse buttons, when I hit it, I fly way further than I should, and that's part of the fun, I guess. I don't know. That part sucks, but I absolutely love that quest. Where whatever zone it's in, I will do it, like, hands down. I love it.
So that's pretty much your favorite, Ben?
Oh, yeah,
you
definitely.
It,
hands down.
I'm just going to call you out right now. You both are sadists.
Well, see, I haven't had that much of an issue with it. Like, so many people, like I said, my guild, like, anytime Kirin Tor comes up, everybody, just the hate and the venom that's spewed for these things. I just walk up and, like, I usually get it first try. Like, if it's one that I've done before and I actually know the path, I'm just like, okay, follow this way, go through there, cool. And then it's like, you know, super simple. Hey, it's done for me. I happen to like all of the Kirin Tor stuff, like the mana racing one when you're on the leopard or whatever. That's great. I just have fun just running around. I'm like, see how fast I can go this time.
The mana saber is one of my favorites. I do enjoy that.
There was a Netflix world quest where you can just zone out and do nothing, it's that mana saber.
That's my least favorite one.
It lets you explore without having to enter combat. So I can just freely just check stuff out. Mm-hmm. And look at the visuals without having to pull and go through the drama of just killing stuff. So I do. That is one of my favorites.
To me, it's like writing.
Yeah, that's how I found a couple different caves in Suramar.
More annoying, it's a small world.
I love that there's such this difference of opinion when it comes to these world quests and stuff like that, because it just kind of shows what kind of stuff the dev team has to go through when designing this kind of thing. They have to create quests that appeal to these people and to these people, and not everyone's going to be happy with some world quests or others. But fortunately, I think one of the things that they did do right with world quests is they put enough world quests out there where you could more or less pick or choose what you wanted to do. I think as a result of that, I found, though, that I was always doing the ones that were the most time efficient, the fastest.
Kill the one thing.
Right. The kill the one thing, I'd almost always go for that. So I think part of it was both a blessing and a curse. I don't think the world quest system is a failure, but I'm really looking forward to how they iterate upon it for the next expansion, because there are some things that need to be done to make it more engaging and more interesting and not just feel like these are daily quests now. Progress was made, more needs to be done.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Agree with that as well.
Definitely.
All right, last couple of things I want to go over here before we take a look ahead into what the next expansion could be. Two things. So first off, best zone. Now, I think we've probably got a good idea for what each of our best zones are based on what we've already talked about, but you might end up surprising me. So, John, I think I know what your best zone is.
Mine's pretty obvious, and the only reason I'm trying to extend it out is because now, after having listened to all this, I'm really worried I'm about to hear someone say Suramar, and it's going to make a part of my soul die. So I'm going to just buy a little bit of time while I prepare myself to hear somebody claim that Suramar was anything other than the worst zone ever. And while I prepare for that, I'm going to say Stormheim was the best. It was the best zone.
And, Belle, so just how much did you like Suramar?
You jerk, bro.
I can't believe the treachery that I'm hearing right now. Are you saying that Suramar was not the best visually?
It was the most boring. It was, I still haven't finished it because it just doesn't end. It has no purpose. We've already touched on the ending and how unfulfilling it ultimately is. Like, it's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. But it's like dressing up a turd in a real nice suit. Like,
that hurts on
like,
many levels.
It's a well-dressed turd. Like,
spoiler
alert.
The reason I love it so much is because it reminds me of Rivendell with Lord of the Rings.
And
that's,
you know,
honestly the reason I love it. And I won't lie. People have asked me, I don't get what your obsession is. And anyone that knows me knows I am, like, obsessed with Lord of the Rings. So I really believe that that's a good portion of it.
And I want to concede...
Well, John hates Lord of the Rings.
What?
No, I don't. Lord of the Rings is fine. I want to concede something, too, on that front. To me, I think one of the things that actually makes me dislike Suramar so much is that it is the most amazing-looking zone. Because it makes me want to spend time there, but I don't like anything that I'm doing there. And also, I went into that city with hopes of liberating it and getting to just be in that city. And then to have that not ultimately come to be, it just absolutely soured me on
There was little reward, and I do agree. I do agree that for everything that they put you through, which is quite a bit, I do agree that there was very little reward outside of blooming your tree in Shalaran. I do agree that they missed a huge opportunity to make it worth your while, make it worth the effort, especially with such a long quest line. Yeah, I agree with you there. But it is one of my favorites. However, visually, not even visually, because I loved all of them, except Azuno's kind of weird to me. And it just, in my opinion, visually, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but that is what it is. I loved Stormheim mostly for the music and the weather. So for Northrend, my favorite was Storm Peaks, and a lot of that is because of the music and because of the weather. You had the storm, you had the snow, you had the blizzard, you had the rain. It was just, the weather just was very different, especially from just little parts of Storm Peaks. So Stormheim was very reminiscent of that. The music was very similar to Storm Peaks, as well as the different types of weather. So I did like Stormheim would be my second after Suramar.
And Ben, do you want to take a side on the Surmar versus Stormheim debate, or do you have a different one altogether? I'm going to take a guess at Valsharoth for you.
Well, first of all, in regards to Surmar, if they would give me my freaking fox, I would love it a lot more. But I will say that I actually, you know, after finally getting through the entire quest, both of them there, I came to love and appreciate that place in a special way. It's definitely not my favorite, but it all comes down to, yeah, it's still taken over even after you completely got rid of everybody in power and took the city back. Except I can't go there. You know, there's still an illusion going on and all that.
What are you hiding, Ben?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Just this wine that I stole in a keg that's on my back that obviously nobody is looking at. I would say one of the biggest frustrating things in this expansion is that Surmar didn't turn into our city, which, you know, whatever. Blizzard, I understand you're limited and you want to keep everybody in Dalaran, but you could have at least made it so that, you know, there's still daily quests all over the place and it's safe for us to walk around, but whatever. So my absolute favorite zone is actually Stormheim.
Yay! Welcome to the team.
Part of it is because I actually really do enjoy the story there. I'm big into the Sylvanas Greymane thing. I figured John covered it enough that I didn't really need to talk about it at all. But it is a great story woven through that whole thing. And again, because of my love of Odin, I like all the stuff that happens with that. Visually, I think it's great. It's very diverse and the weather is fantastic. And I just got to say, it's probably my favorite zone in the expansion.
So my answer is actually doesn't match either of yours. And for me, oddly enough, it was High Mountain. And I think that's because it was I've heard a lot of people like grumble or complain about High Mountain, how it wasn't all that interesting and stuff like that. And true, it didn't deal for the most part with, you know, characters that we're all quite familiar with. But to a degree, I think that's one reason why I enjoyed it, because it was a very different story. For the most part, it was not continuing plot threads from past expansions, with the exception of you got to go into Neltharion's lair, you got a little bit of Deathwing lore, and you found out about this new Last of the Black Dragons, which Raytheon can't just claim the only title to now.
Second of the Last of the Black Dragons.
And of course, there's a whole bunch of questions that get raised by that. But I just, High Mountain to me, I loved the look of the zone. I loved the height variations and stuff like that. It had a presence kind of similar to Storm Peaks as far as like how tall and vast it was. And when we didn't have flying, while we were exploring High Mountain, you could feel it looked great, but also felt a bit oppressive at the same time. And then when you finally got flying, being able to fly around High Mountain just felt so good. I mean, I loved flying around in High Mountain more than any of the other zones, because I remembered how much of a pain in the butt it was to get from point A to point B. In some places where with flying, it's like, oh, it's simple. But also just the views while you're flying in High Mountain are great as well. So from a visual aesthetic point of view, and from just the fact that it contained a storyline that I wasn't entirely sure what I was getting, and it wasn't all that bad. And I liked that glimpse into the War of the Ancients through the Tauren there, and it was all a pretty satisfying experience. So I'm probably one of the few people who will say that High Mountain was their favorite, but you can count me in on that.
That's okay, Ro. Vanilla is for lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
I like
vanilla. Okay, so if High Mountain's vanilla, then what's Stormheim?
The best flavor.
What? Which is?
Just think of your favorite flavor.
Dole Whip.
It's whatever that is.
So you're saying Stormheim's mint chocolate chip?
Sure. If that's your favorite flavor, that's what
And for Ben, Stormheim is Dole Whip. And mm-hmm. For Belle, Stormheim is pistachio.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't really, I'm a ice cream connoisseur. I don't really even have a favorite ice cream. I would just say all of them.
Oh, well, let me tell you about Stormheim.
All right. Well, last thing I want to cover as far as the best of Legion, the one thing we have not covered is best instance, and I'm going to lump raids and dungeons into this all together. For myself, I feel like the best instance was the Emerald Nightmare raid. It was something that we had been waiting a long time for. It had a great payoff. There are a lot of people that will complain that it was a bunch of red and red and more red. I didn't have too much of a problem with that. I love the payoff at the end where you got to see what the actual Emerald Dream looked like after the corruption was over. I felt that was important, and I loved seeing that. The fights were interesting, and it was just... It had the raid itself had a very different feel than past raids that I had been in. It wasn't the perfect raid, but it was probably one of the most interesting ones to me out of the raids that we've done in Legion. I mean, Nighthold's beautiful, Tomb of Sargeras has its own fell stuff going on. I'm sure Antorus is going to be great, but if someone were to ask me which dungeon or raid is going to be the most memorable to me, it's going to be Emerald Nightmare. Bell, I do not know how much raiding and dungeoneering you had during your course in Legion, but what would be the most memorable one for you?
Because PvP has been shite, I've had all the PvE experiences. I've been to all of the things, both on a Mythic Plus scale, which I love the Mythic Pluses. I'm sure everybody else does as well. I think... It's tough because I enjoyed all the raids for various different reasons. I would say Court of Stars and completely trigger John from Further Suramar Love, but Court of Stars is something I love doing.
It's Court of Stars is the one thing about Suramar that John likes, actually.
Well, yeah, and I can do that back to back on multiple key levels and not get annoyed or get tired of it. I feel like it was just a really solid instance in general. Mm-hmm. But I really did enjoy that. So I'd probably say Court of Stars would be my favorite. Although the raids, they really stepped up their game. I really appreciated what they did. Tomb of Sargeras was super fun. So yeah.
How about you, Ben?
I'd have to say the Nexus. I mean, time walking's a thing, right?
I'd disqualify him and kick him off the show.
Yeah, I would have to.
Yeah, that's dangerous territory there. Unless you are referring to the Nexus where heroes gather and, you know, Heroes of Storm takes place. Yeah. That's a whole other Nexus, and I'm sure John would agree with that.
Yeah, that place is great. I like that place. In all seriousness, though, I haven't done everything. I have a feeling that if I had, my answer would probably be Karazhan, but since I haven't done it at all...
You still haven't done Return to Karazhan at all.
Yeah, I still haven't done it.
We're fixing that like before the end of the year. What the heck?
Yeah, I know. At some point, I'll finish it.
I haven't done it. Hint. Hint. Hint.
Okay, so like at the end of an episode of Azeroth Roundtable or something like that, the two of you, myself, Fist, and like one other person, will get a 5-player group together and we'll freaking stream Return to Karazhan because that needs to be done.
Cool.
Yeah, you should get the mount.
Do I need to finish? Yeah, I'd love to get the mount.
So you mean to tell me that I'm the most scrub PvE-er ever, right? And I've done all of Karazhan on multiple keys on multiple occasions, and you guys haven't? You guys should be embarrassed.
Wow.
Oh, no, we're not. There's a whole reason behind it and everything. It all has to do with timing, with the people that I want to go with, having it locked behind attunement and gear level. So, yeah, but to answer the question seriously, though, I actually really like Nighthold. There is a lot of really cool stuff in there. And I got to say, yeah, it takes place in a Suramar like setting. But because of that, I think they had some really creative bosses like Botanist. As much as I hate that fight, I also love that fight because it's really cool and, you know, very picturesque, I would say. The bridge fight was really great. I really enjoyed that. And even more so, what's the one that's in the observatory that opens up with all the stars everywhere?
Oh, Star Auger.
Yeah, Star Auger. It's a beautiful fight. I absolutely love that. And like the mechanics of that was a lot of fun, and splitting up the different groups and all through the different phases and everything. And even the Gul'dan fight was pretty sweet. So overall, I really enjoyed Nighthold.
And John, you got the last word here. Best raider dungeon.
I think all the dungeons are on pretty equal footing with me. Like, I think they just did a good job with the dungeons this go around. I think they were all pretty fun. I'm gonna say let's give all the dungeons 2 points, but then let's subtract 1 point from Vault of the Wardens and Vault of Netherion or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. And add 1 point to Court of Stars.
Yeah, yeah. Do that. And the only reason you're taking points from those two is because I'm a rogue, and that's where my hidden artifact items drop from. So I had to run it 70 million times.
That's
so
right.
I know those dungeons very, very well, much better than I want to know them. So everything else gets a plus one.
Yeah, and I do feel that to an extent that the dev team succeeded in making dungeons more relevant.
I wouldn't say relevant, I'd say required.
Yeah. required, I guess, is a more straight out term for it.
Yeah, and that's not me like knocking them or anything, because John's right. The dungeons that I have played, they were fun. I did enjoy them.
I feel like in some areas they might have went a little bit overboard. I'm just hoping that they are able to kind of find that sweet spot in the next expansion where they don't completely write off dungeons. I mean, obviously, I think with the success that the MDI had, I'm sure that going forward they're going to put a lot more emphasis and focus into dungeon content, because they have obviously seen that there is an audience and an interest in that kind of competition, so they will at least give dungeons a bit of love there.
Yeah, I would like to see that. Hmm. I feel like, so I have made no secret. Bell's gonna kill me, I swear. I think Mythic dungeons were bad.
Just remember, you're gonna see me soon. So I would really tread super
when
lightly.
She introduces you guys at Calm Before the Storm, man.
They're fine. They weren't the content. I think it's good that they exist, and I think there's a place and an audience for them. But I felt like they were constantly telling me that that's where I needed to go, when that's not where I wanted to go. And so a lot of the stuff that I wanted to do and a lot of the stuff that I wanted in the game were put behind that as a wall, which did two things. It didn't make me interested in Mythics, which was part of the problem. So what it made me do was kind of resent the system, because it was like, oh, that's the thing I don't want to do. It'd be like if they put something in the game that you really, really wanted in pet battles. Like, Ben wouldn't care. He'd be excited. But for a lot of us, that would be like, oh, man, I don't want to get into pet battles.
You can expand your default backpack by 12 slots, but you have to win it in pet battles.
Right, something like that. And that's kind of what it felt like they were doing, because they really wanted to sell this system. It just felt like a lot of content that was for me was suddenly put behind that. And so it did two things. It made me feel, you know, kind of bad, because it also felt like they were saying, oh, you want to just do heroics and be able to quick queue, and you don't want to have to find a group or force your friends to join you and be on their butts about showing up at a specific time. Like, okay, I guess you're not really into this game. Like, that's what it felt like they were constantly telling me as a player, is, all right, I guess you're not really a WoW player. Like, it's the same way that people who just do the raid finder, like, all of a sudden the people who raid normals are like, you just do raid finder, but then the people who do heroics are like, oh, you're not on heroic, but then the people who do mythics are like, I guess you guys aren't really raiders. Like, it just sets up this tier system that is fine that it exists, but as soon as what you want is on the upper level, all of a sudden you feel bad that the game is, like, you feel like the game's no longer for you.
I have a feeling that in the next expansion, they're going to make Mythic and Mythic Plus more accessible, in that I don't think they're going to require people to actually have to go to the entrance to do them. That's just a, it's a small prediction of mine, but I think we're going to see that next expansion.
And I do see your point regarding having certain things kind of gated behind the Mythic Pluses, especially if that's kind of not your situation in game. But I think there should be things that are gated behind something that you might not do, because then you shouldn't get it. Certain appearances or certain things that are they're kind of forcing you to do other aspects. It's not like it's on a constant basis. So they didn't spend the whole expansion forcing you to do a gajillion Mythic Pluses unless you had to for a specific appearance. It was just small instances where that was kind of a requirement. And I think that that's true for any game. There's going to be things that we don't necessarily like that are going to be the requirement. I feel like it's one of those things where if you don't want to do it, you just don't.
I agree with that. But to me, there was a bait and switch element to this where it was like, oh, hey, you want to run a normal dungeon? Well, let's put you on this cool quest line. All right, how was that normal dungeon? That was good, right? Okay, here's some quests that's part of that same quest line. Go do those. All right, now, hey, why don't you go do this? And you're continuing the quest line, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, now you got to go do mythics. And it's like, well, wait a minute, that's not how this quest started. Why is this quest that I've been on this long chain for suddenly saying, oh, we're all about heroics, but now all of a sudden it's like, oh, now if you want to keep going, you got to do mythics. Like, I don't like the feeling. I feel like the reward should be better gear, or that should have its own quest chain, or whatever. I feel like suddenly saying, like, oh, we switched the content that you should be interested in, I don't feel like that's the right way to go.
I've come up with a term for this. Knights of the Round Syndrome. Anyone who's played Final Fantasy VII knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, man.
That's amazing. All right, well then, I think that pretty much wraps up our best of, and yes, this episode's running a little bit longer than usual, but that's because, well, we're not going to have another show for a couple weeks, so it's going to give you guys more to listen to before BlizzCon. Speaking of BlizzCon, let's wrap up the show talking about what we think we're going to get and what we're hoping for. It's kind of a two-part question. There's a lot of hype surrounding BlizzCon. Everything's saying that we're going to get an expansion announcement at BlizzCon, even though they haven't outright said, you're going to find out what the next expansion is. Frankly, if we didn't get an expansion announcement, people would be absolutely shocked. And there's a small part of me that, the warlock in me that wants to see the world burn, almost wants there to be no expansion announcement and say, this is what patch 7.4 and 7.5 are going to be. And then watch people's minds just get absolutely blown.
I don't know why you play a blood elf when you're clearly such a troll.
it's a fair point.
Can they be warlocks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I never pay attention to warlocks, so I don't know.
Wow.
That one wasn't me. That one wasn't me, bro.
It's natural. It's a sick mage burn, and Arcane Rats would be
proud. Both of you are going to have to buy me a drink pre-con before the storm if you want me to give you an agreeable introduction.
Oh, can do.
But as far as I'll say my thoughts for last, let's start with John. I mean, as much as we've seen in Legion, good and bad, obviously there's some stuff that I know you want to see more of, aka Sylvanas and Greymane and all that stuff. But what are you hoping we get out of the next expansion, and what do you think we are going to get? Because a lot of people are saying, you know, something, something, old gods, something, something, void lords, etc., etc.
So our mutual friend, TBK Zord, recently asked me, just kind of out of the blue, he was like, John, what do they have to do to sell you on the next expansion? What's going to bring you back? And I thought it was a really weird way to phrase it, because, like, to me, I'm already back. And that's kind of how I feel. Like, Legion was the expansion they needed to sell me. Like, Legion was the expansion where I was like, okay, Blizzard, you better impress me. Like, I had my arms folded and my finger over the unsubscribe button after Warlords. Like, that was the one where they needed to sell me that, like, hey, WoW can be a relevant, good game. And they turned around and made one of the best expansions they've ever made. So at this point, I'm in. Like, they don't have to do much. But what I am curious about going into the next one is they've said multiple times artifact weapons are not continuing. This was the expansion for it. They're done. So it was a really cool system that I really liked, and I thought it was a super... Unlike the garrisons previously, it was like where you hang your hat for this expansion, and it actually really worked. I mean, I'd argue that artifact power isn't the most exciting thing in the world to get and to progress off of constantly, but, like, generally speaking, I love my artifact weapons, and I'm gonna hate to see them go, and I'm gonna hate even more to have to try and maintain my weapons, because having a weapon that was relevant for the entire expansion was so friggin' nice. So basically what I want them to do is just, I want to be sold on whatever the replacement is. You know, whatever they're filling the void that is artifact weapons with, I want to be all in on that. And that's really the only thing that I'm curious about and feel like, all right, Blizzard, show me what you got.
What I think we're going to be getting is, you know, something definitely involving the Void Lords and everything along those lines, maybe even the Old Gods. But... it's going to follow kind of the same pattern that's been happening ever since Warlords of Draenor, which is, okay, we have our expansion, we go through, we have epic battle, and then it continues to the next one. Well, actually, I should say since the end of Pandaria, because that's how we got to Draenor. Then, you know, with Draenor, we got to here, and then something's going to happen at the end of the expansion. It's going to be a big thing, and that's going to be a big cliffhanger to be continued to the next expansion. And what I would like to see at some time is an actual end to these big, long story arcs, because I'm a fan of episodic stuff. It's one of the reasons why I like, you know, say Star Trek Next Generation versus Lost. Lost is just something that continues going on, and there's new questions that pop up constantly, and nothing's ever answered until like the very, very end. I actually prefer, you know, a good story and then another good story and then another good story. The fact that they're continuing this whole long thing and it's just evolving and growing the entire time, I enjoy it, yes, but at some point it's got to stop for something new to happen, because otherwise we're just branching out.
Gear shift is what you're telling me.
That is exactly what I'm telling you. That is what I'm hoping for. And I loved Mists of Pandaria so much. In fact, it jumps in place between Wrath and Mists for which one's my favorite, you know, depending on whatever given day it is. It's either Wrath or it's Mists. And I love the fact that Mist was, it had a great starting point. It had a great story through it, and it was just kind of chill and good for a while. And then it ramped up into something big and huge at the very end, which of course turned into Draenor, which turned into Legion. But I mean, I want some sort of reset like that again, because I think that we need it. We've had a lot of, oh, the world's going to end, we got to fix it right now. And that's been going on for a long time at this point.
I guess I'll just say, before we get the Bell's answer for it, is the part of the thing that I'm hoping we get, part of it is that reset in pace. I do think that after all the conflict that we have gone through and stuff like that, it's okay to have an expansion that is a bit more relaxed, a bit more lighthearted and stuff. Big example, if we had an expansion where Hearthstone Gadget Zan actually happened, and I know John would like to explore Hearthstone Gadget Zan in WoW.
That would be fantastic.
Oh my gosh. Heck yeah.
I would be totally cool with a world like that. If we had an expansion that, you know, started out of a new expanded Gadget Zan, something that's totally like very lighthearted, not serious at all. Maybe it picks up and gets serious later or something like that. Sure. I've got more to say, but Bell, what about you? What are you hoping for, and what do you think we're going to get?
Well, it's funny. We had talked pre-show, and then I did a video the other day where I talked about I want to see sub-races, right? That's been a huge thing. Not necessarily want to see a new race in class, because I think we just got the amazing Demon Hunter, yay for PvP. Just kidding, super sarcasm there. I want to see sub-races, and I think we're going to see sub-races, and I think we're going to see...
Wowhead thinks we're getting sub-races.
Well, they are the data mine king and queen. I think we're going to see Old Gods. I think we're going to see... I think we're going to see something visually different, and I hope so. I want to go away from Azeroth for a little while, or not even necessarily Azeroth, but away from the
side. Do you want orcs in
world.
Space?
Well, I don't really know what that looks like. I just know that I want something different. So if we're going to Celsius, it's not really off Azeroth, but I would like to see, I just want something different for a change. I think Legion was great and everything was good visually, but I want to see something different. But here's the couple of things that I need to see for the new expansion, and this is in no particular order, but I want to see guild halls. Now, we've come very far. We started with garrisons, which I think John mentioned earlier, which was awesome. I think I'm the only one in the world who still loves them and uses them on an everyday basis, but they were lonely, right? Not a lot of people. So they expanded on that, and they did the order halls, which John also talked about, which was amazing. Great concept, great idea. You're surrounded by other people that play your class. Super awesome. What I'd like to see them do now, since they've tested the waters on phasing when it comes to stuff like that, I think it's time that we see a guild order hall, because I've been, for the past couple of years, just been really harping on the fact that Blizzard ignores guilds in general. And instead of adding to the guild community, they take away from it. But that's a whole other episode, guys.
Yeah, it is.
That's a whole other rant, a whole other set of pitchforks to really just march up the steps to get them to see guilds as relevant. And although I loved the weapons were great. Appreciated that we didn't have to strive to get new weapons, as John had mentioned. However, the opposite to that is I'm excited to have to farm for a weapon again. I miss the days of Mists of Pandaria or Warlords of Draenor or even Wrath of the Lich King, where you had to farm a specific boss in an instance to get the exact thing that you wanted. For me and Mists of Pandaria, I call it the Whispering Eye, which is not what it's called. It's the Gaze of Arrogance, but... but I liked that I had to keep going and I had to do it at a different difficulty so I could get better stats. I kind of miss that. I miss that. And it doesn't mean that I didn't love it here. I appreciated that the weapon was just focusing getting our power, not necessarily farming the specific weapon. But I kind of realized that through this expansion, I missed that a little bit, because that's part of the reason that it's fun to raid, specifically for your weapon outside of your gear. And I need them to fix PvP. I need you to stop pruning things from classes that make them who they are. I need you to stop putting bullshit rewards in there that mean nothing. You gave us prestige. Then you made it where there was no risk in prestiging. Then you basically dropped the honor you needed to prestige. Why is it even in game? What's it doing there? It adds zero value to your PvP experience outside of making those that don't PvP feel relevant because they have a high prestige, which is not difficult to get. I really need them to fix that, but I think hopefully we'll see that. And finally, I want to be on a boat. I want it to be my own personal boat. I want to have a buccaneer hat. Maybe I want to have pirates. I'm not really sure what that looks like, but if we're going to the South Seas, if we're dealing with Qul'Tiris, I need to be on a boat. I want to invite my friends on the boat, and I want to have a boat party. That's my wants.
Quick question. What if your guild hall is a boat?
Even better. Like, that's the best of both worlds. Come join my guild and let's party on this boat. Drinks all the way around. But those are the boat. For some reason, I've been fixated on that the last couple months, and I think it's just because we've been talking about theorizing on what we're going to see, and boat seems quite logical, especially since where we're traveling. So if I get a boat, guys, I'm inviting you, Suramar haters, to join me on my boat.
I'm actually going to upgrade this. Instead of getting a guild hall that's a boat, why don't we get a guild island?
Ooh.
Oh, that we can sail our boats too?
Yes. Yep. Okay, now we're all friends again, guys.
Yay.
So, oddly enough, the one thing, as far as like what I'm hoping for, I've mentioned this on the most recent episode with Ben, and it's something that I don't think we're ever going to really see the way I want it.
You're setting yourself up for disappointment.
I'm keeping the bar low for my expectations and stuff like that, so that if it ever does happen, I'm genuinely surprised. But I want the most customizable player housing possible in World of Warcraft, something along the lines of what they do in WildStar and a couple of MMOs, where you have a lot of freedom to create your space that you want to be in, a space that has very little, if anything, to do with actual gameplay mechanics or power progression or anything like that. It is just a space that you make your own, crafted with items that you find out in the world, maybe special items that are obtained through your journeys, travels, and experiences, and just gives you that kind of sandbox, that space to create and play with, and ideally show to others as well. Some may say that there's not really a place in World of Warcraft for that. Some may say that WoW is a 13-year-old game and the engine isn't capable of that kind of stuff. And I may say you have a couple of points there, but I've also seen them prove me wrong when I've said that WoW can't do fill in the blank here, and then they end up doing it. So, yeah, it's funny because when I first started playing World of Warcraft, to me, the biggest important things were raids, loot, that kind of thing. Now here I am, just wanting to have a good home to live in, which is weird.
You want to settle down from your adventuring life. You've had a busy life. It's time to, you know, hang up your hat somewhere and put your feet up. Relax.
Well, and the funny thing is, I mean, the kind of system that I'm looking for would involve, in order to get, like, some of the stuff to create these things in your player housing, it's stuff that would be obtained by doing a variety of different types of content. It would add a whole new level of replayability to WoW that would actually interest me and excite me, in much in the same way that Transmog inspired a lot of people to run old raids and dungeons and stuff like that. That's something that I really want to see. Do I think we're ever going to get it? Probably not. I will be surprised if it ever actually happens.
I was just going to say, I'm 100% with you, Ro. That's exactly what I wanted Garrisons to be, and that's what I wish they had been. And I want to live in your world. Like, I am 100% on board with this idea. But WoW, unfortunately, continues to show itself as a game that, you know, and it's one of Blizzard's mottos, gameplay first.
Yeah.
Rarely ever seems to care about the cosmetic side of the game, which is unfortunate because Transmog is such a big deal to so many people and such a huge part of this game. I continue to be baffled that in a world where people demanded and wanted the barbershop, they haven't done more with that, where armor is still kind of boring looking in this game and they haven't found new ways to make armor more interesting. Like, Blizzard has this really unfortunate history of ignoring things when it comes to pure cosmetic, and yet, at least for me, it is one of the most driving forces in what I do in WoW at any given time. So I would love for them to realize the value in cosmetic and aesthetic upgrades and really lean into it.
It'd be great if we got something like in character creation or customization, sliders. Almost every other MMO has sliders in character creation. WoW's the biggest MMO out there does not have sliders. And I don't mean small appetizing sandwiches.
Or a TV show about portals.
Yeah, sorry, I was hungry, so that's kind of where my brain went, FYI.
No sliders, not enough sliders. There's going to be a plate of sliders on the next mage table.
Oh, that'd be great.
Mana sliders coming soon to an expansion near you. What I think we're going to get... something definitely tied to Kul'Tiras. I think Jaina Proudmoore is going to have a prominent role at some point in the expansion, but I don't think that she's going to be a key figure throughout the entire expansion, much in the same way that Sylvanas seemed to be, you know, a primary focus of Legion and then only got, you know, prominence for a section of it. So there's a lot of hype revolving around Jaina right now. She's going to have a role to play, but she's not going to be a central figure for the whole expansion. I think we're going to get a troll raid in the next expansion. I think the Isle of Zandalar, or what is left of it, because it was sinking at the time of Cataclysm, from what I recall. I think Zandalar is going to come into play, along with a couple of other island areas. It's I feel that Old God and Void stuff may not necessarily be the number one threat or order the thing. I do think that an island expansion can provide somewhat of a gear shift in the way that Mists of Pandaria did, and I don't think it's necessarily time to fight the Old Gods and Void Lords. And one thing that I want to point out is that the past few times that we've had an expansion release for World of Warcraft, people seem to have this idea from what they've seen in previous stuff in the game that, oh, well, obviously we're going to do fill in the blank next. And then they got surprised by Mists of Pandaria. And then we all got surprised by an alternate timeline in Warlords of Draenor, for better or worse.
Surprised and disappointed.
Yeah. And then Legion, I mean, we knew we were fighting the Legion at some point, but I think a lot of people were surprised that the Legion and this big climactic fight happened at the time that it did. A lot of people would say that this stuff that we're going through right now with this final fight against the Legion and Sargeras and all that stuff is something that you would see at like the end of WoW itself. And we know World of Warcraft's not ending. At least we think we know. so I just feel like a lot of people have some ideas about what the next expansion is. And a couple of them may be right, but I think we're going to be surprised by what's revealed to us. I think it's what we get is going to be something very different from what everyone is assuming we're going to get. So I want to thank all three of you again for being on for this. I really appreciate it. I wish we had Jin John tonight as well, but she will be back in the near future. I'm really excited about BlizzCon. I'm excited about talking about it with all three of you. I mean, I can't wait to see all three of you in Anaheim in just less than 2 weeks, which is pretty freaking crazy.
Yeah, these two guys should be afraid.
Bring it.
Well, if you catch me on DitchCon night, I'll love you because I'll be drinking, and I love everybody when I'm drinking.
So. Well, so just so you know, so Belle's running this little party the Wednesday before BlizzCon called DitchCon, and if you're in the Anaheim area, you should attend it. John, Ben, and I, well, I can't necessarily speak for Ben and John, but I do know we'll be going to Medieval Times the first part of that day, but it's my intention at the very least to go to DitchCon right after that, so...
Well, yeah, I hope so.
I'll see you with your drunk, happy face then. Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. As far as what we're doing with the rolling restart at BlizzCon, put a big question mark on that, folks. I mean, I kind of have an itch to want to do an episode of Rolling Restart from BlizzCon, and that depends on a few things lining up both schedule-wise and just availability-wise, so I'm not going to say absolutely yes, but I'm not going to say absolutely no, so just pay attention to the Twitter feed at RestartCast and keep an eye on things, and if we end up having an episode of Rolling Restart, possibly even live-streamed, you'll find out about it. Until then, folks, let's go one time again around the horn and just let people know who you are and where you can be found and all that stuff. John, you do more than just talk about World of Warcraft. I know that much.
That's true. If you want more of my unpopular opinions, you can follow me at John_Jagger on Twitter or hear me talking about Heroes of the Storm on Core.
Core!
Which is the Heroes of the Storm podcast I do, part of the Frog Pants Network. You can find out more about that at heroesforyou.com.
And Ben, where can people find you?
Best place to find me is on Twitter. I'm at Ben the Mage. I do a show with John called Azeroth Roundtable, where it's all about WoW stuff. And I also do a show with Eludra called Battle Pets, so check it out.
And quick promo, do check out Azeroth Roundtable later this week. Close to the weekend for the big BlizzCon prediction episode, which I'm more or less moderating emceeing, which Ben and John are participants in. That one's going to be a lot of fun. I've been waiting 2 months for this BlizzCon prediction episode, and I can't wait to finally have it done, and it's going to be great.
Well, I'm pretty excited because apparently our minds are going to be blown at the end of the episode.
That's the rumor.
The end will blow your mind. Belle, where can people find you on the interwebs?
I'm pretty much Belle all over the place, really. I get around, guys. Just throwing that there. I get around, just so that we're all clear. But you could find me on Pwncast, everything, Belle, everything. I'm pretty much lurping around every corner. I'm promptly going to unfollow John, though, on Twitter. There's going to be an unfollow. Just kidding, guys. But yes, that's where you can find me, Pwncast on YouTube, iTunes, all the things.
And, of course, you can find me on Twitter at RoWow. All the information for the show will be coming up in just a minute. But first, if you are listening to this and you do not have a virtual ticket yet for BlizzCon, and you're not going to actually be at BlizzCon. The folks at Blizzard Entertainment have generously given me a virtual ticket to give away on this very show. So if you're listening to this show right now before October 29th, just send a tweet to @restartcast with #rollingrestart, all one word together, #rollingrestart to @restartcast. I will randomly draw a tweet with that hashtag on October 29th at roughly noon Eastern time, and you will receive a BlizzCon virtual ticket with all the goodies that come with it. Some great mounts and WoW, along with a lot of great coverage of BlizzCon and goodies and other games as well. So make sure you're on top of that. And with that out of the way, good luck on that. Belle, John, Ben, thank you very much for being on the show. Can't wait to see you all at BlizzCon.
You're going to get tackle hugged as soon as I see you.
Awesome. Well then, until next time, I've been Ro, he's been Ben, he's been John, and she's been Belle, and we now return you to your regularly scheduled adventures in Nazaroth. Goodbye, everybody. You can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, or your podcast app of choice. You can follow the show on Twitter @RestartCast, email the show at RollingRestartPodcast@gmail.com. The Rolling Restart is a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions. You can find archives of this show at RollingRestart.FrozenFoxMedia.com. The music for the show is Shaping of the World, originally by Jason Hayes from Blizzard Entertainment and remixed by Pascal Michael Stiefel. No copyright infringement is intended.
This podcast is part of the Frozen Fox Media Network. Visit us at FrozenFoxMedia.com for information about this and all the other content we offer. You can also find us on Twitter @FrozenFoxMedia. Frozen Fox Media, cool content for the gaming community.